Hallelujah. And I just, before we get into the word, but you can turn to 2 Thessalonians because that's where we're going to start, chapter 2. But I just want to say and a shout out to everybody that came yesterday, because yesterday was our packing day. Next Saturday on the 10th at 10 o'clock will be our moving day. And then the following week, if it's needed at that time, we're going to have our cleaning day. So we're just excited. We did our best to social distance while we're packing. I don't know how well we did, but glory to God. I just plead the blood over everybody. I thank you, Lord, that no virus can come here. Psalm 91, I hope you're confessing that over yourself, declaring it over yourself. God is so good and he's so faithful. Hallelujah. As I was preparing today and going before the Lord and asking him, as my custom is, Lord, what do the people need to hear? What does the church need to hear? What is it that you want to say to them today? I have a word that I think is encouraging, but at the same time, sobering this morning. And I just want us to come to the place where we are all lined up with the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to really work into our hearts. Glory to God, because he wants to. He wants to touch us. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus came 2,000 years ago, but the Bible says that he's coming again. And I believe that he came as a lamb, but he's coming back as a lion. And what do I mean by that? He's coming back to establish his kingdom on the earth. And as the church, we need to wake up and just come to the place where we realize that it's really not about the politics that are going on. It's not about the pandemic that's going on. It's none of that. What is it? What's it about? It's about our spiritual relationship with Jesus and what's going on in the world. Because we have many places that we're going to look at today that absolutely say what's going to happen at the end of the days. Is Jesus coming tomorrow, the next day? I hope so, but I don't know. But I think we can see the times and see that things are wrapping up. And just for instance, and before we get into the word, just for instance, I'm sure I'll talk about it a little more, but isn't it interesting that one virus was able to control the whole world? What do I mean? Everybody went lockdown. Now, I'm not saying that it was wrong to go in lockdown. I'm not saying that it wasn't wrong to protect ourselves. But what I'm saying is that one thing could get us all in step. Again, I'm not saying that it was the Antichrist or any of that kind of thing, but I'm just saying it's incredible. And when I first got saved and started looking in it and the things about the mark of the beast and putting something on your forehead or stamp on your hand, I thought it was a tattoo or a barcode or something. But today, and again, I'm not saying that this is it, but did you know that today, I saw a video on YouTube that a company was chipping their employees, and in that they had a shirt, I was chipped. Now, I'm not saying they got the mark of the beast. That's not all what I'm saying. But what I am saying is the technology is already there, where they can just put that, and the Bible says without that you can't buy or sell. And I'm not being political or anything, but isn't it interesting that out of this pandemic, what we're going to do now is we're going to find everybody who has it, and then we're going to trace everybody. That's a little scary to me, right? And they have the technology. They got it on their phones already, right? They got it on the computers already. It's already here, the ability to do that. I don't think we should be afraid. I'm not afraid because I'm a Christian. I'm saved, and I want to tell you that we don't have to be afraid, but we have to be aware, and we have to come to the place where we understand the times that we're in and that we aren't looking at only the things that are surrounding our circumstances. We've got to keep a heavenly perspective. We've got to keep a focus on that the Word of God has already told us what's going to happen. We know that someday we're going to be with Jesus and everything is going to be all right. Even with this song, even if I got a heavy heart, Lord, I'm going to sing for joy because I know the Lord, even though the circumstances surround my heart, I know, God, that you're in there and you're going to take care of me. But let's look at the word. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. He starts out with this. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken or in mind or troubled, either by the Spirit or by word or by letter, as it is though the day of Christ had come. Now, there were some in that day, just historically, there were some in that day that said, well, Jesus has already come back, has already taken care of him, we're past his coming back, and Paul's going, that hasn't happened yet. He said, but listen to what he says here in verse 2. Not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled by spirit or by word or by letter. And in this time as a church, as the body of Christ, we've got to be on guard that we're not shaken, that we're not caught up in fear, that we're not allowing the enemy to come in and just say, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to trust that Jesus is Lord. We're going to trust that he is alive and that he's true to his word and what he said he'll do. Glory to God. I know that right now there are people all over the place who, you know, the stimulus checks and all of that just aren't cutting it. There's people that are hungry. There's, you know, and that's real. And I believe that the church, it's time for us to step up and say, okay, God, we need to believe you for supernatural supply. And not that, boy, I've got mine and forget you, but Lord, that we just begin to share, we begin to believe. We get to give people hope when there seems to be none. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go on. It said, let no one deceive you by any means, that the day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Antichrist. And he's talking about that man is going to come and he's going to set things up. But don't be shaken by anything else. Know that when that time happens, I personally believe we'll be out of here, but if it's not, we'll know that we know that we know. But again, don't let anybody talk to you. I mean, there have been cults throughout the centuries that have just allowed, you know, they've gone into hiding. They've done all kinds of crazy things. And we don't have to be shaken. We don't have to be deterred. We don't have to be those that shrink back. In fact, this should be the church's greatest hour. Listen, even if it's a time where things are going to get rough, things are going to get tough, I'm telling you that the toughest one is inside of us, and his spirit lives on the inside of us. But even if our hearts begin to go into fear, we've got to come against that fear and say, no, Jesus is with me. God is for me. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 4. It says, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and is worships, so that he sits as God in the temple, showing himself that he is God. Do you not know that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know that what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. Did you know, I believe this with all my heart, the Holy Spirit is restraining the enemy from coming in and doing everything he wants to do. Because what is the enemy's job description, title, personality traits? Here it is, John 10:10. The thief comes not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. And I know that at this time, there are things that are trying to look that way, But we who are Christians don't have to fear anything because God is with us and he's for us. There is coming a day, and the Bible is clear about it. That's what makes this all so surreal, that you're not going to be able to buy or to sell without a mark. In fact, let's just hold your place there and turn to Revelation chapter 13. I want to show this to you, and most of you know it, but those who don't, listen to this. Chapter 13, and we're going to go to verse 16 to start out with. We'll read 16 and 17. It says, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who understands calculate the number of the beast, for here is the number of a man. His number is 666. Look, we've all heard about that. Even non-believers know 666. And I know people that have had, you know, got a new phone number and it was 666. And I don't want that one. Give me a different one. Because, you know, the number itself is not sick, but what it represents, right? But look at this. You won't be able to sell or to buy or to steal. Now, I don't know how this is going to work out, but my perception of some of the things that I've said, even during this pandemic, it's like, wait a minute. If you don't receive the vaccine, then we're going to track you, or you won't be able to go into this place unless you have this certificate or this card or this chip, right? And that doesn't frighten me, because glory to God, we know that this is the day that the Lord has made, and he'll rejoice. You know, we will rejoice and be glad in it because he's with us. All I'm telling you is that according to this, and seeing this even when I was a young Christian, I went, how can that be? How can they track everybody at once? How can they know if somebody has the, you know, that mark? And how can they, you know, but what we're seeing today, and this is what I'm trying to point out, is the possibility, the circumstances are right there for all of that to happen and come to pass, just like, surprisingly enough, God said it would. Amen? And so we have to come to the place where we are even more encouraged that the Word of God is true. But at the same time, we begin to use the Word of God to speak to our hearts. And I'm speaking to the church, the body of Christ, and not really the world right now. I've been reading in the Minor Prophets, and it's amazing to me. In Hosea, he talks about that God spoke to Hosea, said, listen, I want you to go marry a harlot. You know, okay, I guess, right? And so he did. But the whole point is that Israel was playing with whoredom. They were going away from God and going to other things. And the reality is, well, we're Christians. We'd never do that. I don't think that's necessarily true unless we guard our hearts and keep ourselves in the place where we understand who we are, what God has said, and begin to line ourselves up with that and get out of the compromise mode and begin to stand for what God has called us to do and what he said. And if we get to that point, then no matter what happens, we'll be on the right side, right? And that's where we want to be. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, right? I don't want to get up to God and go, well, you know, what about this and what about that? And I'm not claiming to you that I'm perfect, because I'm far from it, but my desire is to be right. My desire is to do good. My desire is to be with him. And so we need to come back to the Word and say, Lord, what are you saying? And when we're reading through the things that we're reading through even today or even in your private time, it's like, okay, wait a minute, how am I lining up with that? And am I, you know, letting that slack, or am I, you know, saying, oh, God, you know, you're so merciful. You know how it is, God. I tried to do good, but I can't. And the reality is that doesn't cut it. Because God has given us the Holy Spirit to empower us to do what he says that we should do. Let's go on here. Let's look at verse 8. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with his breath of his mouth and will destroy in the brightness of his coming. Glory to God. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. See, there's a lot of people that are going to be deceived, and there's a lot of people that are going to say, well, you know, the Bible, that's an old book, and we don't really have to go by it anymore. And you know, after all, we're 2000 or 2020, and so we have different morality now. We have a different understanding. Listen, our understanding stinks compared to his understanding. You might be wise in your own eyes, but it doesn't mean that you know everything, Glory to God. It's like a person who comes on the job, they've been at the job for a couple of years, and they think they're pretty much an expert at everything, and they're telling this older fellow about everything and how things should be, and this older fellow's just going, man, you haven't got a clue. Because I've experienced over the years much more than you have. I have much more knowledge and much more wisdom. And if you don't keep your mouth shut, at some point you're going to look pretty foolish. Because the one who's wise knows everything. The one who's just has a little knowledge needs to keep his mouth shut and his ears open. And that's the way we need to be with the Word of God. Lord, I know a little bit. But Holy Spirit, help me to know more. What are you speaking to me? Even as you listen to a sermon, even as you listen to this message, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Not what did you say to pastor, what did you say to the evangelist? Lord, what are you trying to say to me? What is the Word saying to me today? And then get out of the excuse mode, get out of the compromise mode and say, forget it. My circumstances don't dictate my obedience. Let me say that again. My circumstances don't dictate my obedience. The Word of God is what dictates my obedience. Period. End of story. Come on. I'm not going to be one that lets deception make me perish in any way. Glory to God. Like for instance, I'm not talking even about going to hell, although I think this is what this is talking about. I'm talking about this. Am I going to let my circumstances keep the joy of the Lord from being in my life? Am I going to let my self-pride keep me from God's best? And the answer is no. No, I'm going to trust God and go for Him. Verse 11, it says, "And for this reason God will send the strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they will be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." What's he saying? God doesn't want a people to worship him that don't want to worship him. He wants people who out of their own free will lay their lives down to do what he says to do because what he says to do is right. Part of me wishes that when I got saved, one of two things would have happened, that I would have been like a robot. God, whatever you say, I'm going to do, and my will is no longer involved. If I was God, this is what I would have done. What, you met Jesus, you're saved, boom, you're dead. I'm taking you to heaven right away so you don't screw things up, right? But what I'm telling you this morning is that God has a place for us, but we've got to come back to the understanding that the Bible is true and teach ourselves that the love of God is real in the book of Revelations. Again, it talks about one of the churches that said, listen, you've left your first love. And then it says, repent and go back and do your first works. And for me, it's like this. Do you love Jesus the same way you do when you first met him? When you first were convinced of his love for you, do you pick up the Bible and say, man, I got to read the Word. I've got to listen to worship. I've got to be in church. I've got to be where the presence of God is. I need his presence more than anything. Have you let that slip? Have you let that go by? Is that somewhere, you know, off? And the reality is, if it is, we've got to wake up. We've got to sober up. We've got to say, now, wait a minute. I don't want to be that one. I want to change and get back to where I once was, that Jesus was everything and his presence was everything to me, and I don't want to compromise anything for that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 13, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief in the truth." Come on. What's the truth? It's not a what, it's a who. The truth is not a what, it's a who. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And he also said, thy word is truth. And if we come to the place where we accept that His word is true, then anything that's in our lives that outside of that, we got to come back and say, I don't think so. I don't think so. But we're coming at a time, and I believe this with all of my heart, especially in my experience, that we're coming to a place where light and darkness seem to be taking a stand. And if you're going to stand in the light, it might cost you something. It might cost you friends. It might cost you family. It might cost you, to be ostracized. But I would rather be ostracized for the truth than to be in the deception. And, you know, how about you? What do you think? It's like the truth is the truth no matter how many believe it's not the truth. Truth is not relative. I don't have a truth and you have a truth. There's only one truth, and it's the Word of God that defines that truth. Glory to God. I used to work in many different places, but we worked with machinery that had tight tolerances. And those tight tolerances for a little screw, it had to be a certain size, no more and no less. If it didn't meet the parameters, you threw it out. Why? Because it was going on to an aircraft that needed to stay flying. And if you just were sloppy with everything, then the airplane would fall out of the sky. So the tolerances were pretty tight. But the tolerances being tight made it right. Again, I worked for the Department of the Navy, and we went through subsafe training, and all of that was brought about because of sloppiness in the overhauls of some submarines, that the submarines were lost because they did not do the subsafe standards to make that sub seaworthy. And so in our lives, it's kind of like God is saying, listen, here's the parameters that we need to be in, and we need to be subsafe. Come on, we need to walk in light of God's truth. We need to allow God and the Spirit of God to show us the truth, and then we need to believe the truth. Do you know that if you believe the truth, you'll act on it? And if you're not acting on it, then you don't really believe it. Right? If God said don't lie, and you go, well, you know, I'm a liar, my dad was a liar, my grandpa was a liar, lying's just what we do. Well, that's not the truth. Come on. And so, again, what I'm talking about today is I think we're living in an exciting time, but it's a sober time, and I'm really saying, what are you going to do? There's a line of demarcation. What are you going to do? Are you going to come with your feelings, your opinions, or are you going to submit to God and let Him be the deciding factor? Come on. Look at verse 12 again. That they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It's time for us to really get a clue. And watch this. Especially some of us that have been alive for a while, like we're old. That's what I mean. Look at it, it's we've got generations behind us that have no clue what the truth is. And sometimes I believe, man, is that my fault? Did I not preach the right word? But what we do is we send our kids off to places that don't validate this, and so they're wavering so badly because this word has just become another source of information instead of the only source of truth. And so it's like, it's crazy. I'm telling you, it's gone crazy. The world has gone crazy, and we've got to get back to the Word of God. Again, in the Minor Prophets in Hosea, the whole point of the whole book, in Joel was the same way. The whole book was that God was trying to blow an alarm to get people to wake up, to come back to Him, because that's where peace is, that's where safety is, that's where the truth is. And I'm telling you, this nation that we live in, that once it's I mean, come on, people will deny this, but our Constitution and every document that is in the founding was based on the Word of God. They had prayer meetings before the sessions. They used the Word of God. They didn't necessarily put Scripture in the documents, but it was all based on what the Word of God says. We've taken, and some places, thank God, have put it back in, but it's like they've taken the Ten Commandments out because that's a religious, we can't, we have to separate church and state, but the reality is that's not what that whole clause was about. The clause was, is the government shall not and absolutely have no way to impose itself on the church. It wasn't that the church shouldn't have influence on the government. It was totally the opposite. And yet it's been twisted around and turned around. And I'm not making this political, but what I'm saying is that we as Christians need to stand up and stand for what's right, and then be willing to take the flack that's going to come because you're standing. That's where we're at. That's the time that we're living in. But glory to God, it's so exciting because we know that when He comes, we're going to go with Him. We're going to be with Him forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Chapter 5, and look at verse 4. It says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. For you are all sons of the light and sons of the day, and we are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let those who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." I mean, if you can't shout at that, if you can't get excited about that, I said this several years ago, but, if you can't be thankful for anything else in your life, just say, "Well, I'm glad I'm not going to hell. Praise the Lord, I'm on my way to heaven because the blood of Jesus has covered my heart." But we've got to come back to the place where we're allowing God to use us to be a standard that people can look at and not compromise, not compromise. Go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Jesus spoke of these things. He told us what was going to happen. He told us where we'd be. I believe, and I know that many people believe that for years and years. By the way, happy Mother's Day. And here's a carnation. I usually have carnation for all the ladies on Mother's Day. Here's a virtual carnation for you today. Glory to God. So happy. I'll just tell you this. I miss my mama. I'm not too shy to say it. She's been gone a long time, but I miss her. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at verse 4 of chapter 24. He says, "Take heed that no one deceives you, that many will come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you're not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places, but all these are the beginning of sorrows. For then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." Doesn't that sound like good news? Glory to God. I just want to be hated by everybody. Man, there's a lot of hate today. There's a lot of hate today. I mean, I don't care on what side. You know the best thing you can do? You want peace in your life? First of all, you need Jesus, but the second thing is you need to shut the news off. And really not, I'm not even talking about the news. Okay, I'm going to get on a rant. Forgive me. Shut off Fox, shut off NBC, shut off, you know, all of those that are feeding you hate toward one another. It's ridiculous and it needs to stop. Okay, I'll stop. Hallelujah. Verse 10 says, then many will be offended and will betray one another, will hate one another. Then there will be many false prophets will rise up to deceive many. And because of lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold, but those who endure till the end shall be saved. I want to be an endurer. I want to have endurance. I want to stand. I want to continue to stand. Hallelujah. And I believe God's graced us to do that if we'll continue to walk with him. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as witnesses to all nations, then the end will be. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of Daniel, the prophet standing in the holy place, and again, I'm not going to get into the end time stuff with that, but let's just say that there is coming a day in Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives where you're going to see the Antichrist sacrificing to himself, basically. But watch, let's go on. Let him who's on the housetop go down and take anything out of his house. Let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant, those who are nursing babes in those days. Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation such as not been seen since the beginning of the world unto this time, nor shall there be. But unless those days be shortened, no flesh would be saved. For the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Glory to God. And it goes on and it talks about so much, but it talks about that the there's coming a time where mother's going to be against son and son's going to be against mother and brothers and sisters are going to be at war with each other. And I didn't really see that, the possibility of that, but I'm seeing it now. I'm seeing it now where it's, you know, if you don't believe the way I believe, then you're dead to me. Ridiculous. It's ridiculous, but it's a sign of the time. And so today I just need us to come back to the place where we're saying, all right, Jesus, I need to reevaluate my walk with you. What have I compromised? What have I allowed myself to change my opinion because of what people are saying rather than what your word says? And that's going to take you and me getting back into the Word of God and reading it as our daily bread so that the Holy Spirit can give us ammunition to walk throughout this earth in. Come on. I can't tell you how many times, you know, I'll just be reading along and reading where I read in the Word every day. And sometimes I don't read it every day, which shame on me. But the reality is the Holy Spirit will bring back a scripture to me that says, you know, and it checks me. It makes me go in a different direction. My habit is to read a proverb a day, the proverb of the day, like today's the 10th. And so I read the 10th chapter. And in that, I'll be going along and go, whoa, wait a minute. And we let the Word of God begin, and the truth of the Word of God begin to change us. I'll close sometime. I don't want to lie. Go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Have you ever heard anybody say the truth sets you free? Come on, the truth sets you free. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Let's go John chapter 8. And verse 30, it says, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. So you can believe in him, and many believed in him. He spoke the word, and I mean, he had signs and wonders going. Many believed in him, said, yep, you're who you say you are. And then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Wait, what? We believe in you. Aren't we your disciples? Nope. Nope. Just because you believe doesn't mean you're a disciple. And what's a disciple? That's a disciplined follower. That's one who follows in the discipline that Jesus laid out. In other words, that's one who follows his teaching. That's one who does what he says, even if it seems contrary to your personality. Come on. It's time for us to become disciples. Now watch as he goes on. He says this, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." What does it mean to abide? It means to live in it, right? It means to live with it. It means to live by it. It means to have it as your final authority. I'm abiding in the word of God. Then listen to what he says. "And then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Again, the whole point that I'm trying to get at is we've got to get back to the word of God, make that our standard, and make that the source that we seek truth out of. Instead of looking to CNN, you know, even CBN or you know, Daystar or any of this, as Lord, I need back to your word. You and I need to come to your word. I need to be a disciple in your word, because if I'm a disciple in your word, the Holy Spirit will bring me to the point where I'll know the word. I'll know the truth. And it says, come on, let's go on. It says, "You shall know my word and be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth shall make you free. So there's a process. Just because you believe, it doesn't mean that you're in line to be free. You have to become a disciple of finding out what the word says and getting your life ordained and in line with that. And then that knowledge will become living on the inside of you. You'll begin to act on it. You begin to live like it. And that's the door to freedom. Any other way, you're not going to make it. Any other way, you're not going to make it. So here's what I'm saying today. I want you to be encouraged, because if you're in Christ, right? If you're in Christ, then you're going to be one of those that's going to escape all of the torment of hell. Come on, because hell is a real place. Let me just say that for just a minute, because some of you aren't church folks that are maybe listening right now. Hell is real. What is hell? Where is hell? I'm not sure exactly where hell is. I mean, some people say the middle of the earth. I don't know. But here's what I know, what hell really is. Hell is the total absence of God. The total absence of love. The total absence of peace. It's a place of torment. It's a place of eternal torment. And those who don't submit themselves to the truth that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven, that's where they're spending eternity. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." Some would say, "Well, listen, yeah, but Aunt Susie, she was such a good woman. I mean, she always gave to people. She was always kind. She was, listen, you know what the Bible says about that?" And I've got to take this over your opinion. The Bible says that our righteousness, even Aunt Susie's, is as filthy rags to God. What does that mean? He has a standard that is so holy that nobody here on the earth can meet it. There's only one who ever did. His name was Jesus. Here's the good news, though, that Jesus took our sin or our unrighteousness or our not being good enough, and he nailed that on the tree with him so that he took our shame and our guilt. But we have to walk in that. We have to say, "Lord, I know that I'm not good enough on my own. I know." See, if you actually stood before God in sin, you'd be just blown away, literally. But it's through the blood of Jesus that we can stand boldly before him and say, "Lord, I thank you that you love me enough to take care of my sin in Jesus' name." Look, I know and you know that none of us are perfect, but it's Jesus that was perfect, and he took my place, he took your place, but your part in that, my part of that, is to submit to him and say, "Lord, if that's what you said, that's what I believe." Here's what's cool. is that even as I'm saying this, and if you don't know Jesus, or maybe you had a relationship with Jesus, but you aren't walking with him now, in your heart, if you shut your mind down for just a little minute and let the Holy Spirit speak to you right in here, there's something down in here that's saying, that's right, that's right, that's right. You need that. You need that. Unless your heart has become hardened, and I don't think it would be if you're listening to this, that you could say, Jesus, I'm being convicted right now. I'm being loved back to heaven, so I just submit myself to your word, and I thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for me. I believe that Jesus took my sins, and he is my Savior, and Father, you are my Lord, and I submit myself to you right now in Jesus' name. That's the first step, amen? And that's the main step. That's the step that puts us into eternity. The rest of it is renewing our mind to what he said and walking in the light of it. So church, beloved, here's what I want you to know. Here's what I want you to do today is I want you to get alone with God and just take his word, begin to read a few chapters and just say, Holy Spirit, I just want to come into such a relationship with you that you are guiding me by your truth, you're teaching me your truth, and the first place that I'm going to come when I need wisdom is I'm going to read your word, and Holy Spirit, have you bring back to me everything that I have need of because it's in your word. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It's a good day. God is good. Where we're at right now, it's a beautiful day. And we can't always say that up here in the Pacific Northwest, but I want you to know that God loves you. I really love you, and I don't hate anybody. I love everybody, and I want to see the truth set people free in Jesus' name. So be blessed today. Let me pray for you as we close, and I just believe God is going to touch you. Father, right now, I know this is no distance in the Spirit. Wherever people are listening, wherever people are watching this, maybe they're going to watch it later, God, that you can touch them and minister to them. I believe it's your will to set people free from the fear of sickness and disease, God, because by your stripes we were healed. I thank you, Lord, for setting us free. I thank you for putting us in a place where heaven can be our home. And Lord, I just ask you to deliver people today, to heal people today. And Lord, just speak to people's hearts today. And we just give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. And again, next Saturday, 10 o'clock, we'll be here to do the move. And everybody who can come, I appreciate that. God bless you. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.